Go ahead and
Flo, go ahead and say hello.
Hello again out there.
Hi there.
Oh, I can hear you, Benita.
Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. Okay.
And then this will send it to these, but you probably don't want too much in the speaker.
Right, just a little bit. That's like bringing this from home.
Yeah. Okay.
You good?
Thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, just press this keyboard is down here.
I know. Look, I'm just getting my clock up here. So okay. I think I'm rolling now, but okay. I'm just telling yes.
Okay.
Right. Our studio.
Just wave at me.
I will. We're almost there.
Good. Good, 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 good.
All righty then. You are rolling.
Hi, this is Flo Hale, and this is Arts Alive, etc. And my guest today is somebody that I wanted to interview now for a while, and I finally got her. And welcome, Benita Zahn. How are you?
Oh, Flo, I'm fabulous. Even better now that I get to talk to you.
Yeah, well, you know, and your career has been so varied. The first time I met you, you were doing a show up in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told you, I think Jay told you something, but that I was in theater or something like that. And we met and you whispered in my ear, get me out of broadcasting, get me into some theater.
I'm sorry, I whispered in your ear, what?
You said you wanted to get into theater, more theater, and get you out of broadcasting, you know, but you were so good at CBS News, you know.
I did get out of TV. It's a little over four.
Right,
okay,
yeah.
But
when you were a little kid, Benita, were you always interested in performing and broadcasting?
Always performed. Broadcasting came later. But I think, Flo, I was primed to go into news because I'm always asking questions. Mm-hmm. I think annoyingly so.
Yeah, yeah. And then how did you, were you originally from up here?
I'm a Long Island kid.
Oh, from Long Island, uh-huh.
I went to college in Oswego.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and worked for Cablevision before it became the behemoth. And now eventually, it became Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked in Syracuse. And then I came here to Albany and thought I'd leave after about 2 years. And then just some life stuff happened. My mom passed very young. I stayed and the rest is history.
Yeah, well, it's really terrific. And then when you left CBS, you...
NBC.
NBC. Oh, golly, CBS. I apologize to NBC, yeah.
No, it's all fine.
It's the thing is, you were able, because even when you were broadcasting, you have a marvelous singing voice, you were certainly able to continue to do that. And I've seen your shows, and they're marvelous.
Thank you. You know, I always carved out time for theater. I'm a firm believer that you have to have, a few irons in the fire. We can't just, always eat chocolate ice cream.
Mm-hmm,
got to have strawberry and vanilla and a little pistachio, and that's what makes the world interesting.
Sure.
And I think as a journalist, it helped me bring more perspective to my stories and the people I was interviewing. And, I've seen, Flo, I'm sure you have too, people who have a career. And then when those days end, for whatever reason, by choice or not, they have nowhere to go. They don't know what to do with themselves. And sometimes people hang on too long in a career because of that. And that's not me.
Well, that's not me either.
No, right, exactly. We like a smorgasbord, don't we, Flo?
I don't know what I would do without, radio or theater or, trying to, or directing or something like that. Don't forget, this coming mm-hmm. April, I'm going to be 97 years old. And
oh,
people
God
say,
bless.
And you're still doing things? And I say, why not?
Right. I love it when when somebody says to me, when are you going to retire? Well, first of all, I don't think I retired. I pivoted, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, you know the song from Cabaret, what good is sitting alone in your room?
Show. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, come hear the music play. And it plays in so many places and different tunes. And that's the delight of being alive. So, you know, get up, get out, live.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you said something, too, about, you know, when you were broadcasting, how you would be investigating. And it seems to me that would help, that helps actors. Because when you're doing a part, you have to investigate the part.
Yeah, very much so.
You have to know, and everybody talks about, you know, method acting this and method acting that, and you just have to be.
Right.
You know, just be. I was fortunate enough to meet that great actress Helen Hayes a few times. They consider her, yes. you know, the first lady of the American theater. The reason
sure.
I knew her is
yep.
her daughter and I were in the same class at the American Academy.
And, oh, wow.
She used to say that, you know, just do it.
Right.
Just do it.
You know, I'm directing a play right now for the Black Theater Troupe of upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very honored that they
yeah,
asked me.
Yeah, sure.
And the show is a three-person. It's I Just Stopped By to See the Man. And we wrap up on the 9th of November. And my missive, you know, really, my work with the actors is, and it's very, it's three characters and it's very talky. Lots of monologues in there, but I kept saying, and I still do, just tell the story.
Absolutely.
Don't act per se. That's not what this is about. It's telling the story. It's being true to the words and the emotion. And one of the actors, and he had so many lines, and I said, close your eyes and see what it is you are telling me,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so you can be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to spout lines. It's another thing to experience what the playwright wrote.
It's the same thing with lyrics in a song. I worked with a man in
yes.
the city, Bert Knapp, who was considered uh-huh. the top person around many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody studied with him. Elaine Stritch, people used to come in from Hollywood to work with him and stuff. And he would never let you sing a song until you could recite the lyrics as a scene in a play.
Uh-huh.
He said, because lyrics tell the story.
Yes.
And he said, it's just the dialogue put to music.
Right.
And he said,
I
some
think of
people.
A time
would,
it,
yeah, sure.
No, because so you mentioned Jay. We're referring to Jay Kerr.
Right.
Who is an accompanist and
mm-hmm.
a songwriter.
Right.
And, He helps write musicals.
Yes.
He's wonderful. And when I started working with him for my first, I mean, it was one of my cabarets, if not my first, but
yeah.
a number of the songs, I found myself in tears. And he's, yes, you know, so if when you're learning your music, if you're so invested in the moment of it, and the song is And When October Goes by Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I did. I was in tears, Flo. You understand this.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And it's
sure.
I can sing the song without crying, but you have to get there to fully understand the emotion of what's supposed to be conveyed.
Oh, sure. And, you know, a lot of the young people, I remember years ago, and I go, I'm a heck of a lot older than you are, you know, and I remember years ago when people first started talking about method and the Actor's Studio and stuff like that. I was at the Grove Theater in New Angola, Pennsylvania, which was considered, you know, wonderful theater company. And we were doing a comedy and I'm on stage with this actor and I gave him his cue and he didn't answer me right away. So I figured, well, I gave him his cue again. So finally the director, who had rather a salty mouth, said him, what
mm-hmm.
the pop, 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 pop. And he,
mm-hmm.
says to, he says to Royal Stout, I didn't feel it. So Royal says to him with a salty language, which I won't use,
yes.
you know, this is a comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, true, think. But don't think in front of the audience. Do it. Do it. And fortunately, he did do the play, but then he was let go because he was so... I got to do this way, and I got to do that way. Forget it.
Sometimes, what's that, the Groucho Marx, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, sure, sure. And it's, and I've seen you do, you know, musicals and everything, and the musical is just a play with music, and it's the dialogue.
Right, right.
You know, so when you're direct, the what?
No, go be, do, enjoy, bring it to life.
Oh, sure, because the audience doesn't care what you're going through. They just want to be entertained.
Oh, yes.
And the audience is very much aware sometimes. I was in a terrible play that they made a movie out of years later. It was called Sailor Beware with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And I was in the play many years before that. And there's a scene in the play where I'm talking to these people on stage and I leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this performance, I took the doorknob. The doorknob came off in my hand. So I looked at the people on the stage, you know, my other actors, and I threw the doorknob across the stage. And I said, damn it, you were supposed to fix that. What? Why didn't, you know, and I forget what I said. Now, the audience, they laughed like crazy because they realized that that was an accident. But you have to use it as part of the play.
I tell the story to this cast. It was something that transpired. Umpteen years ago, I saw Sandy Dennis and Ted Bessel in Same Time Next Year.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And there's a scene where they're sitting and they're eating cake. It's one of their celebrations. And the cake falls off the plate. And you can see Ted Bessel. His eyes are like, you know, deer in the headlights. And to this day, I remember this, Flo. And Sandy Dennis never missed a beat. And she bent over and she scooped up the cake and she put it on the plate and she licked her fingers, you know, and then handed it to him. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what? You know the story.
Yeah.
It's not just saying words. You become immersed in the storytelling. It's beautiful.
It really is. At this same theater, at the Grove Theater, they were doing a play, and I can't remember the name of it, and they had a young boy in it. He must have been about maybe 9 years old, and there was a prop that he was supposed to have that was put underneath a table.
Uh-huh.
That he was supposed to open up the box and see. Mm-hmm. The prop person forgot to put the box.
Yeah.
So the kid goes over there, and my God, it was amazing. He said, they forgot to put my box here. So, but I know what was in it. And he starts talking about what was in the box. And the director backstage was saying, oh my God, he's 9 years old, but look what he, you know, he's so fantastic.
Right. How brilliant.
If it would have been me, I would have cried and ran off stage. You know?
It was brilliant.
It was,
and then last night at the show, something happens and a headscarf falls to the floor and I'm sitting there going, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. And sure enough, it was a few lines later than I would have liked. One of the actors picked it up, put it aside. It was beautiful. They were in the moment. It's great.
Oh,
when you see that, it's just
sure,
wonderful.
Sure. And the other thing that that Helen Hayes said was the fact that people said to her, you know, are you nervous when you go on stage? And, of course, she says, let me tell you something. She said, I could be in a play for a year, and if I'm not nervous and if my stomach isn't churning before I make my first entrance or before the curtain goes up, she said, I give a lousy performance.
Mm.
She said, I have to have that energy, that nervousness. Because she says, you never know what's going to happen.
You know, it's a funny thing about that, Flo. Sometimes, yes, I agree mostly. But I can remember doing a play. We were doing, they're playing our song up at Fort Salem. Where we, you and I first connected. It's a two-hander with a very small...
Yeah, I saw that show. I saw you in the show, yeah. Terrific.
And, I mean, I loved that show. I loved who I was working with. I loved everything about it. And I remember being backstage, and there were no flip-flops in my stomach. I couldn't wait to get out on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think excitement takes different forms. Sometimes that stomach flip-flop can actually steal the energy you need to get out on stage. So it's about taming it and understanding it. I talked about this with one of my actors the other night, and you know, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. We just reshape it. We use it in a different form.
Sure.
And it's, you know, learning a technique to, for you, in essence, capture, harness that energy, reshape it, and then use it.
It's the same when I've talked to young people about improv, and they'll say to me, Miss Flo, we don't know how to do improv. How do you do it? How do you do it? And I look at them and I say, from the moment you get out of bed, your whole day is an improvisation.
Yes.
And they look at me and say, I said, do you know what your mother's going to say to you in the morning? Do you, you have to, wait, after she talks to you, then you say something. And it's the same, and even when you're listening to a dialogue in a play, pretend you've never heard it before. You're hearing it for the very first time. And
but
say,
you know, people don't, it's being connected to, it's mindfulness. We hear a lot about that now, about being mindful. And it's being mindful. That's really what it is, you know?
And
we think it's some weird other thing. It's not. It's being present in your life.
I also think that in schools, whether kids are interested in theater or not, they should give classes improvisation. And I'll tell you why. When a young person or anybody goes out for an interview, that's an improvisation. You're sitting in front of the person who's interviewing you, and it also teaches you how to listen.
Yes.
If you're going to give an intelligent answer, you must listen. And I can always tell on stage if an actor is just waiting for his cue or if he's really listening to what's being said. And that's very important.
That's a conversation we've been having, because the actors that I'm working with are not as experienced. They're not pros. They're wonderful, but they're not pros.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. And then yesterday at intermission, a woman said to me, she was very kind in her comments, and said, and that there's this woman on stage, and she said, it's great. She's always in the, always in there. You can see she's always listening. Yes. She is, because acting is not a series of start and stops. It's a continuum. Once you get out on stage, it continues going until a curtain.
Right. Oh, sure. And also the method of acting has also changed too. Many years ago, I was fortunate enough, and if I mentioned some of these names, the young people probably wouldn't know what I was talking about. I saw a play, and I wish the hell I could remember the play. It was with Catherine Cornell, Bryn Ahern, and Kathleen Nesbitt. Now, these women go back to the 1920s into the 30s and the 40s.
Wow.
And I'm sitting in the theater watching them act, and it was stylized. It was, if you were going to do something, it was like the audience is stupid. And everything they did was so planned. And so, you know, and the audiences loved it because they were seeing people like Catherine Cornell, Bryn Ahern, and Kathleen Nesbitt, and people like that. And then acting became much more relaxed, where you're being real. And some of those plays back then, everybody was very sophisticated, if you remember, except if you're doing plays like Dead End and people like, you know, show plays like that. But it's just really and truly amazing to watch the transition of acting.
Yeah. Isn't it something? It's a development. Everything goes through that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And a lot of people don't realize that it was the in the late 1920s that there was this group called the Group Theater.
Yes.
And that was the and that was with Strasberg and Lee J. Cobb and everything. And they were thinking that the best acting that you could, and of course it was, this was naturally after the Russian Revolution, and the government in Russia ran the theater, and that's what they were hoping for, that the government would take over the theater and that everything would be paid for and stuff like that. And that's where this and they didn't realize that Stanislavski and those people, they rehearsed a play sometimes for a year before they performed it. And so to take all of that and to try to squeeze it into 4 or 5 weeks rehearsal, And then, you know, you've got the Actors Studio, which years ago right. they used to call it the Mumbo Jumbo School of Acting because you can never understand Marlon Brando, you know. But, you know, and acting should just be, as you said, it's acting, it's taking real life and convincing somebody that they're seeing it as it happens.
Yes. And that's really the key, is to bring you into those moments.
When you're auditioning actors, what is it that you look for?
That's a good question. You know, I know, obviously, by the time you direct, you have a sense of where you believe the characters start and finish and their journey. And you get a sense of who that person is. So I'm looking for them to embody in some way, either physically and or in the tone of their reading, the character. And it's fun. So in the show I'm doing right now, which I can speak, obviously, most to speak to, three characters, as I said, and one, two people of color and one white guy. And it's germane to the play. The white guy has to be able to play guitar. I mean, really lay down some licks. So he comes into audition, and he can play, but his interpretation of the character is not right. Not even in any way that was going to work for me or the play. And I smile, and I said to him, no. I said, can you rethink it instead of A, B, and C? Can you rethink it X, Y, and Z? He looked at me, he said, you know, I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, give me a minute. And then he did. So I'm looking for an actor who is receptive to suggestion, who is courageous to bring their own perspective, and who listens.
I was very involved with the Dorset Playhouse for like 30 years. That was when the Carmichaels ran it. And they used to say that when they would come into New York to audition actors to come up to the theater, they would take an actor sometimes. An actor would come in and give a fantastic audition and give a great reading. And they would say something to the actor, and then that was it. Then another actor would come in, and maybe they weren't as great as the first one, but they would hire that actor because that actor that wasn't so terrific was directable.
Right.
The first actor gave you a performance.
Yes.
And you knew that that was what you were going to get all the time.
That's right.
And so I always say that, and of course now with everything being done on tape, but when I used to audition, and I'd have, and they would give you, you know, the agent arrange things, and you'd have, you'd be able to have a script and stuff like that. And after the audition, before they had a chance to say thank you and goodbye, I'd say, you know, I did think of another way of doing this. Now, sometimes they would say, let's hear it. And sometimes they would say, no, that's okay. But even when they said, no, that's okay, they're saying their stuff, you know, this person is directable because this is this. They've got other ideas besides what we just had.
Right.
And I always say, say it. Say, you know, I like to take a chance. And people, I actually walked out on a singing audition one time because I was doing such a lousy job, I stopped. And they looked at me and they said, what's that? I said, it was one of these mass auditions where you have a whole bunch of stock companies are auditioning people. And they wanted you to sing three songs. So I got through the first song. And I thought, there's something off. And I started the second song, and I said, excuse me. I said, but I'm really, this is not one of my better days. I said, I'm giving a lousy audition. And you know what they say? People forget the good, and they remember the bad. And I said, so if you'll excuse me, and I left. Well, some of them called my agent, and they loved me.
I love it.
They said that was the most wonderful audition anybody ever gave, you know, to stop and say, I'm not doing my best. And you have to be honest with yourself, because if you're not, you're not going to learn.
Well said.
You know,
and sometimes it doesn't get you. I auditioned this couple of months ago, and it was crazy. The show I had done at that theater required me getting my hair washed. Mm-hmm. And second to last day, I ended up getting water trapped in my ear. And it was about a week later, and it still hadn't fully cleared, and I was having trouble hearing. And the pianist was playing an electric piano that wasn't amped. And I couldn't hear. I couldn't stay in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I turned and I said, I'm sorry. I said, but we're off. I can't hear you. And then we chatted a little, and he's like, well, what else do you do? I said, well, I got X song. You know, I can do that for you, a cappella. Sure. I never got cast. I don't think I was, who knows? You know what? One door closes, another opens, but I hear you. Sometimes you just have to call an audible, you know?
And you have to be very honest with yourself, too.
Yes.
And your friends have to be very honest, too.
Right.
I have a couple they're about two or three
people.
Well,
that's hard in theater. Yeah. It's very hard. You know, there's a relative of mine, very dear young woman, who's not auditioning because, frankly, she can't, at this point in her life, handle the rejection, recognizing it's not about her personally.
Right, right.
You don't match up for some reason. I had three callbacks. I had an original callback, a second callback, and then a final callback for a show, a new play.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped, you know, went through hoops to get there. And whatever I read, they had me read more and more. I ended up reading everything they had, Flo. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the end, I didn't get cast.
Mm-hmm.
I get a hold of the casting director, and I said, you know, I thanked her for the opportunity. I said, but was there something else I could have done? So in the future,
yeah,
I will do that. And she said, no, he had a guy he was casting. He was set on that. And it was a family show,
mm-hmm.
you're creating a family. And he ended up with two redheads that matched with him, and I didn't.
Yeah, it's really, it's very, very...
match. It happens.
Auditioning is so funny. When I was a casting director, we had the Burlington account, and we hired Herschel Bernardi to do the voiceovers for him. And and I said to him, you know, we'll be at the studio at such and such a time. And for some reason, the head of the cast, the TV department said, Flo, you know, you and Herschel get along. Why don't you come to the studio, too? So I was in the control room, and they kept directing him and directing him. Finally, he was getting very frustrated. So I said to the people in the control room, turn everything off and let me go in and talk to him. He said to me, Flo, what is it? I said, there's nothing wrong except they're all trying to be directors.
Yep.
And I said, the thing that I want you to do is to exactly just say to them, I know exactly what you mean, and do exactly what you did at the audition. He said, fine.
There you go.
So I went back in the studio, and I said, okay. I said, I think he understands what you want now. And he did it, and they said, Flo, what did you say to him? It was wonderful. Oh, God, I'm telling you, it's really, all of us could write books about our experiences in show business.
Oh, yeah.
And some of it not too kind, I suspect.
I have to say that's true. But you know what? You're always learning. It's interesting. You know, and it sure beats a day, you know, breaking rocks.
Mm-hmm. It's just really... one has to remember that an actor, a true, true actor, is somebody who's doing a job, and they're doing the job that they love,
right.
And they like being.
It is a job.
They like telling a story.
Yep.
And this is what they want to do.
Playing, you know that, Flo.
The what?
They think acting is playing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
It's work.
Acting is not. It's work. And you've honed your craft. You're always honing your craft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not play. That's for sure.
That is. I think what we just did, Benita, was give a whole course on acting to any of the young people that are listening.
I think you're right, Flo.
Should we tell them to send in a check so to pay for our
time?
There
you go, yes. And our next lesson will be
And our next lesson
projection.
Will be how to do voiceovers. Because, you know, my favorite story is the one with Lynn Redgrave. She came in, never did a commercial, and she came in to do a voiceover for Tet Lee Tee. And they wanted somebody with an English accent. And I said, well, will she do a commercial? And they said, yeah, she's never did one. And she was awful. I mean, just terrible. And there I am directing Lynn Redgrave. And I called her Miss Red. She said, no, please call me Lynn. I'm going to call you Flo. And, of course, she didn't get the job. But you know what she said to me when she left the office at my studio?
What?
She said, you just gave me an acting lesson.
There you go.
And then about a year later, she was one of the first celebs to do a commercial, and I think it was a Weight Watchers commercial because she was.
Yes, it was.
And at a SAG meeting one time at a luncheon, and somebody was asking her about why she did commercials, and she pointed down at the end of the table, and she said, she taught me how to do commercials, you know?
Yeah. You know, and that's the other thing about acting, is that you have to look at everything as a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And which reminds me, there's a young woman I need to email back. She had reached out and we had talked a while ago. She's very talented. We worked together and she's a freshman in college and struggling a little with direction and all. And I said, have you ever thought about just getting on the bus downtown? She's in a nice neck of the woods, you know, it's not the interesting neck of the woods. I said, I'm riding around and watch people, see how they walk onto the bus and how do they sit down?
Sure.
And how do they stand up? And how do they move their packages? And how do they sit?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's a wonderful acting lesson.
Right,
for you.
Yes,
because
yes.
For me, it's usually if I know what the body is doing for the character, then I build my, in, if you will call it, interpretation or role, whatever, my understanding from that. But I have to know the body first.
Benita, we're running out now on time. And this has been a fantastic interview. Thank you so much. As I said, I think we really gave a lot of young people something to think about out there.
Good.
And I think that all young people should take some sort of improv classes or acting classes.
Yes.
Just for self-assurance, just to give them self-confidence so they can really, you know. And I wish you the best of everything and all your adventures. And keep me posted on what's going on, okay?
I will, and thank you, Flo. It's always a treat to talk with you. Just big hugs, and here's to a happy and a healthy rest of a new year.
And right back at you. Let's try one someday here. We can get together for lunch and really gossip.
You got it, sister.
Okay.
Take care.
Right. You take care now.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Oh,
goodbye.
Golly Moses. Anyway, I want you all to really pay attention to your station here. And really, they're looking for fundraising. So try to contribute if you can. And just remember that public radio is the most important thing around because we need stations that are not tied to any particular company or anything like that. And they can be honest and just tell you what they want, okay? And so anyway, as Flo Hale, I say thank you very much. And also, I want to thank my wonderful engineer, Carmen. And please give to your station, WGKC, at 90.7.
That's
GXC. See, my eyesight is so bad. GXC. And so please, we need you. As you know, the government funding has been cut off on everything. So please, okay? Thank you. And I wish all of you the best of everything and just be careful and take care of yourselves, okay? And just remember, be kind to one another. Thank you and goodbye.